Amen. Amen. Welcome, 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 welcome to the sanctuary this morning. A smile on our faces in the place today, because God is good and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, or the 31st verse. Amen. And it goes as follows. It says, "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Amen. And the title of this morning's message is, "It's a Setup. You Have Been Positioned for the Promise." It's a setup. You've been positioned for the promise. Father, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Position for the promise. Have you ever received a message or some good news that was life-changing, inexplicable, or astounding? The type of news that once you heard it, sounded too good to be true, or even impossible to believe. Examples of such are not limited to words such as, "Will you marry me?" No mascara, but you're doing this. Okay, I got it. "You're hired. We would like you to come in and fill out some paperwork so that you can start next Monday. How about this? I'm expecting. I passed. I love you. Or he is, or she is alive." Many of you have experienced certain speechless, jaw-dropping moments, eye-opening moments in your life. These life experiences that at times bring you to tears because your heart was filled with excitement, joy, gladness, and fear all at the same time. You know, mixed emotions, or what I would like to call feeling some kind of way. Well, the characters that are involved in this experience have illustrated all of the preceding emotions, if not even more. However, there's something that we must all examine closely this morning, and it's not the message itself. Matter of fact, this is not a Christmas message either, because Jesus was not born on December 25th. Amen. He is actually born right around now. Rosh Hashanah is coming up. So this is actually more appropriate. Amen, somebody. I just want you to see that. So it's really not about the message itself. It's about why they heard the message in the first place. How is it that you go from SGA president to sitting in front of all these dignitaries and they come to the table just to hear what you got to say? How is it that you went from the clay hills of Mississippi all the way up, and you see rocket ships going up, correcting people saying that is SpaceX and not, I'm just saying. From Inverness to Orlando, to the corporate halls, and I ain't forget you, Ryan. From Costco, to almost getting ready to propose and get down on your hands, well, knees, and just say, "Will you marry me?" He already told me, I'm just saying. Don't know when, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And just think about what it was like to actually hear the message that it's your turn. You're getting ready to go forward. Or, "Pastor and Lady Martin, we want you all to be at these different types of conferences to let people know about racial reconciliation." Even have people calling me and saying, "Pastor Martin, is all right if I go to that event? You know, I got constituents." And just a couple of years ago, the phone would be completely silent. Sometimes you have to be in the right position to hear a good message. And you can't do that just being still. So what do you mean by this, biblically speaking, Pastor Martin? Like to hear, here go. Adam and Eve, they were, watch this, not in position for the promise. And as a result of their actions, mankind fell due to sin. Moses and Aaron did not appear to follow God at a very crucial moment in time. Moses struck the rock. He was angry at the children of Israel, and a lot of it was because of his own recollection. He was one of those type of people who always said, I can't understand why people just use me so much. I got a big heart. Why won't they respond to that? And God was like, well, you can't love the people that much. That's my responsibility. You're just a human. But because he didn't listen, he got really angry. He got messed up. He got mad. And then he ended up not going to the promise himself because he couldn't let go of the people. He loved the people too much in their opinions because they left their position. Aaron definitely knows about this because he saw Moses presiding over the death of his children as they put strange fire into the censer. And then God was like, why are you putting this strange fire inside of the censer? A censer is a bowl. I wanted you to put the right type of fire before you offer up something to me. You just don't just throw anything my way and say, God bless it. I hope you get some of that. God is just not going to just let you just give your worst and you be like, man, take care of this and turn this $1 into $1 million. That's not how it works. And as a result, God allowed for them to perish because they were not in the right position. And then finally, Joshua and Caleb, they kind of changed the narrative because in those preceding examples, it seemed like everybody was just not in the right position, not in the right place and time, even though God was guiding them. But with Joshua and Caleb, they did obtain the promise because they kept their position. Behold, I see giants over there. They're big, they're tall, they're looming, they look intimidating. But we are well able to overcome. Yes, the 10 spies are murmuring and complaining about their weaknesses and they can't talk very well. They're not smart. They don't have all the know-how. People are ignoring your resumes. You know that you're smart and you just get into this whole pattern of, well, I just won't do anything and I'll just wait on God. No. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. When they did that, they prolonged themselves in the wilderness for more than 40 years. Joshua and Caleb was able to survive that. They took some men with them, cut at their flesh. They were in pain. Flint knives. Can you imagine that? How that feels, men, where somebody's taking a flint knife and circumcised you when you're in your 20s? That's what happened. They grew up in the wilderness, but the wilderness did not grow up in them. But God wanted somehow to send the people of Israel a sign that this new generation is going to have to cut at the flesh before they move forward. It's going to be painful, but I'm going to show you how to lead while you're bleeding. Position for the promise. In verse 32 in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 32, in the 32nd verse, it says this as follows. It says, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and all his kingdom there will be no end. It will be eternal. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I do not know or have ever been physically intimate with a man. And the angels answered and said to her, oh, the Holy Spirit will come upon you for this task, so that you will be anointed for this very hour. And the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. You see what happened here? She was at the right place in the right time and was even questioning God. God, how can I even do this? How can I even have all these people start to follow me? I'm unqualified. I don't even look right. I got strange teeth. I got, you know, I didn't graduate. Only have a fourth grade education, not married, I got a record, too tall, too fat, too skinny, too dark, too light. But God says, you have been chosen. Get into the right position. She was in the right position. And it wasn't her position physically. It was her the position of her heart. That's what an altar call really is. An altar call is not just you coming towards the building, although that is a sign and a wonder to those that are watching. It is actually the position of your heart, because many people have come to the altar and they go back the same way. But what about if the position of your heart is in alignment with God? When you have been chosen by God, no man, no woman, no dignitary on this planet can claim credit for what is about to be birthed in your life. So your limitations, people of God, is actually his ideal situation. Your limitations. I can't speak very eloquently, and when I get nervous, I just don't say nothing. But then God says, I'm going to get somebody to speak for you on your behalf. Oh, Lord, isn't that beautiful? Amen. It's like you being interviewed by two people, you get nervous, and then you start stuttering, then one of the people who really, really like you, because they see something special inside of you, they interrupt and say, well, what he's saying is, that never happened to you. What she's saying is this, and I think that they'll be really good. Well, I think we're done here. We can start. If it's happened before, it can happen again, but don't you lose faith. You got to position yourself to be aligned directly with God. Just think about it. If you're in a dead situation, dead circumstances, you ask yourself, man, just like Ezekiel, when he's looking at these dry bones, can these bones live? Can these bones live? It looks like a dry and dead situation. I don't even think I could get out of this place that I'm stuck in. I don't even think that our relationship is going anywhere. I don't think that the church is making any progress. But some of the best progress is made in the dark places. A seed does not become a tree until his roots go down deep. Things don't spring forth unless they're planted. You can't go up unless you bounce up. You can't lift off unless you start off at the bottom. I think it was the great prophet Drake that says, we started from the bottom, now we're here. We started from the bottom, now our whole team is shining. And one of Lady Martin's favorite songs, I'm all the way up, nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. I'm all the way up, nothing can stop us. I'm all the way up. And it's such a good, good song. I got your want, I got what you need, yeah. God has you what you want, has what you need. He does. Nothing can stop us. You got to start somewhere, isn't that the truth? Yeah. So can these bones live? Lord, you know. You know the core of this particular situation. You know exactly how this thing is going to pan out. God, are we going to make it through this pandemic? Well, you know. And somehow, some way, we're still here. Somehow, some way, a person, when they may have other business and other issues dealing that they have to deal with at the house, they could still come to Divine Truth Christian Center. They're still open. I could still rest my head. I could still be infused with God's Spirit as we battle what's going on in the world today. Did you know that Moses asked God how he should be introduced to the children of Israel? He was like, man, I'm just totally unqualified. I can't speak good. My beard is nappy. I've been exiled. I was once a part of royalty. What are they going to say about me when I go back to the neighborhood? Moses is a classic example of that. I got a record because I killed a man. All in the name of justice. I saw the oppressor beating up my people, and had what I thought was righteous indignation. God was like, well, let me go ahead and take that righteous indignation and let me put it in the right path. You will be my deliverer. Matter of fact, since you can't really speak for yourself, I'm going to have Moses speak with you. I'm going to have somebody that's going to be able to walk side by side with you as you go through these tasks I have set before you. And anytime anybody asks you, exactly what is your position here? You say, well, God sent me. the great I am. Let's go to verse 36 in the same chapter. The verse goes on to say, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Another impossible situation. So Mary, you are a virgin. You're about to have a baby because of the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth, she was with a man, but both of them were very advanced in age, past menopause. But she's also having a child too, letting us know that you're not the only one that God will talk to. There's other people out there that are going through impossible situations. You're not the only one that's looking for a new position at work. Not the only one who's going through trials and tests, financially, mentally, socially, economically, or spiritually. There's many people who are going through impossible situations, but sometimes the only thing that you have to be is in the right position. The right position in your heart and in your spirit. Repeating, then Mary, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was born or who was called barren. Look at that. So she couldn't even have a child. Have you ever looked at somebody and be like, how in the world did they get married? They were in the same club that I was in. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I wasn't tricking. And they were doing all of that in a bag of chips. And now they're doing this. It doesn't even make any sense. And then you look at God and be like, God, what is wrong with me? But God oftentimes takes the worst things, or things that we think should disqualify people, and he says, well, I'll qualify you. It's not really about you. You have flaws, you have weaknesses, but I'm perfect. So when I speak, it will come to pass. I don't lie at all. I'm not like these humans around here. I don't have to repent for what I do. If I change course, I could do it because I want to. It's right. I don't make mistakes. And I love verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Repeat after me, church. Come on, let's do it. One, two, three. For with God, hold on. Let's try this again. One and a two and a three. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, do you agree?
Yes.
Do you agree? If you agree, then watch God move. I said, God bless this church. Let us be a healthy church. Let us be a church that will be able to move forward. And then the pandemic came. Wow, look at that. All these places and businesses that are dropping like flies. Things are being held back, put up under the rug, derailed. And somehow, some way, we're still here. I'm not lost on that. I'm very grateful to God. But at the same time, I boast in God because nothing will be impossible. There's nothing too hard for him. Do you believe that? There is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard, Elder Winsley, for God. There's nothing too hard, Marsha, for God. God said that I am that I am. I am all that you need for me to be. I am your doctor. I am your lawyer. I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. I'm your savior in that alley. When you're high on that coke and that weed, I can save you in your time of need. You know me, I'm your friend. The main one until the end. I'm your savior. I'm your pusher. To push you into your destiny. Put your hands together for that. I just got that off the top of my head. Lady Barnum was like, mm, gonna go with this? We'll see. So God says, whatever you need for me to be, I'm it. I'm it. And so if he's promised you something, you must carry it and deliver in the fullness of time. Oh, Lady Martin, the fullness of time. Core leaders, the fullness of time. God, how long, Lord? How long? When will it happen? I preached a message, when will it happen? Back in 2011, young lady was just looking off into the distance saying, when will it happen? When will we be able to move forward? When will we be able to get out of this storefront? When will God send the increase? I still remember the second year of our ministry, we zoomed up to 75 people. Woo! Fast. And then the real church was left over after all of that. And then 10 years later, here we are still doing more with seemingly to the outside with less. But in God's eyes, less is more because you have to give him credit every step of the way. And I believe he's taking us through this training period on purpose so that when the influx comes, and it will come, we won't be arrogant to be like, it was us. Look at all these strategies and tips. I looked at all of these websites. I read all of these books. I did all of these different types of songs. I did all of these different types of ministries. We had strategies, tactics, and that was the reason why we made it through this difficult time. No, it was not. It was all God. All God. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. So let me paint a picture here that you have Mary, who is getting ready to conceive due to the Holy Spirit. And then you have Elizabeth, her cousin, that was already pregnant 6 months. In Mary's womb, there's Jesus. In Elizabeth's womb, there is John, John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. That John is in the womb. Now verse 38 makes sense. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So when the angel was telling her exactly what was going to happen, even in the midst of her doubt, fear, and unbelief, God still was going to share the message that she needed to hear. And then something on the inside of her confirmed it, and she calmed her happy self down. Let it be according to your word, from your mouth to God's ears. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how this ministry is going to go. Back in 2010, we were all up in our upstairs room, a charter meeting, our first meeting as a ministry. Just sitting there, just about five or six of us, Amanda, Lady Martin, my brother and his wife. And that was it. That's all. The two kids making noise in the back. That was there. That was our charter member. And then look where we are right now. Well, Pastor Martin, ain't packed up in here, man. What's going on in the world? But the point is, we are here. And in the fullness of time, God will bring it to pass. Fullness of time. The fullness of time is not really accurate. They don't really sound accurate, do they? It doesn't. It's kind of like, okay, mom, when will I be a man? In the fullness of time. When will I be a woman? In the fullness of time. I thought I was a woman when I had my period. No. In the fullness of time, because everything got to see. You can't just be a physical body. It also got to be this. You can't just be a man because you got a little hair on your chest. It has to be this too and this. And verse 39 says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. Wow, look at that. And entered to the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. She went to the praise place. Lord, have mercy. See, what does this all mean? So we got Mary and Elizabeth, you have Zacharias, and then you have Joseph. All of them are all together there, and they are all being positioned for greatness with both impossible situations. And see, when you have somebody that has been anointed by God and they come in contact with somebody else who's been anointed by God, it's supposed to be some pop, pop, pop. It's supposed to be some fireworks that's supposed to set off. It's not supposed to be any type of sorrow. When God blesses you, he does not add any sorrow to it. You get what I'm saying? When God blesses you, there's no sorrow added to it. Now, there may be trials and tests, but sorrow is like, I shouldn't have picked you in the first place. It's supposed to be joy and peace, even in the midst of trials. But what else does this mean, Pastor Martin? Just plain speak. Just make it plain for me. See, what God is trying to tell us this morning is that there are others who will be pregnant with a blessing along with you. This lets you know that you are not in it alone. Oh, you looking too? You want a ring too? You want a thriving ministry too? You suffering as well? You overcame health issues as well? Wow. Millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones who did. And not the only one. Possible situations, but you're not alone. You are not alone. I am here with you. Though we're far apart, you're always in my heart. Did I do that right, Lady Martin? Oh, good. Got the words right. That was good. All right. Verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. Look at this. Watch the picture here. Watch the picture here. That when two of these ladies came in contact with each other, this something happened. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, look at this. Let's not forget the two men that supported these two women during this time. Zacharias and Joseph. They had to be in the right position to bring the promise to pass as well. Men, if you happen to be living with a blessed woman. Oh, Lord, let me go ahead and just step into this right now. Support them. I'm so tired and weary from working all week long. Nope, you still got to get up anyway. Because you're the man. Remember I told you that when you're the man that the woman sacrifices her body and her life just to bring forth a child, she dies and near death on that day. So how do you die? You die daily.
Well, I just want to.
No, you need to get up and change the diaper 5,000 times if you have to. I did it. Sometimes I got cross-eyed and I'm like, oh, gosh, it smells. Oh, God. Got to do it anyway. Support them because you know you would want the same thing. Zacharias and Joseph definitely are a picture of today's men where it's not necessarily about roles, it's really about partnership and being able to change up those roles. I wish you could just kick up your feet and just pull off those black socks that smell up the entire room and just get your dinner. But in today's time, you need to understand that, you know, when a woman stays home, like these women will be at home, that's like a full-time job. And the reason why you get so frustrated and you be like, I don't even want to deal with it, is because that's how it is. So don't use your job as an escape. That's something I had to learn. I had to learn it. And they did. Zacharias was approached by Gabriel during his priestly duties, and Joseph was told by the angel that he was going to be a father. Both required mature reactions. One was muted. The other had to develop patience and the spirit of adoption. You missed it. Zacharias had to have a mature attitude about this because the angel said, you will not be able to say a word until the baby is born. Elizabeth is not supposed to be pregnant. She was not supposed to have a baby. She initially was barren. This wasn't supposed to happen. Be quiet until the baby's born. Don't be telling everybody your business. Not necessary. Hush your mouth now. Hush your mouth in my slave voice. So that was what happened biblically with Zacharias. And then Joseph, on the other hand, he had to be patient. Because in the back of his mind, man, that baby ain't mine. That baby ain't mine. That baby ain't mine. That baby ain't mine. I don't feel like paying no money for that baby. That baby ain't mine. That baby ain't mine. But then he ended up having the spirit of adoption. The most famous blended family in all of world history. They were in the right position. And they were blessed as a result of God's promise. The other real unique event about this whole meeting between Elizabeth and Mary, when the babies both leaped, is that both of them were in water at the same time. I hope you get it. The water, amniotic fluid for all my scientists that are out there. The fluid, the water, they were both in water at the same time. They were in the right environment. I'm talking about Jesus and John. They were both in the water at the same time. And when they came in contact with each other in the womb, at that blessed moment, they leaped for joy. It was the spirit that made that divine connection. And who knew, several years later, almost 30 years later, here goes John with his wild self, eating locusts and wild honey, going through the wilderness, preparing you the way of the Lord, make his path straight, I'm baptizing people. In the name of God. But there's one that's coming whose sandal straps I'm not even worthy to loose. Sandal straps. Call them the Jesus 100s. I can't even bend down to tie this person's shoes. That's the one that's coming after me. He's going to be much greater than I am. Much more powerful. And then as he begins to go towards the shoreline to see his own disciples, John's own disciples, then all of a sudden, here goes Jesus. And Jesus comes in contact with John, and then Jesus is like, I need you to baptize me. And then they both appear in the water once again. And the Holy Spirit revisits them once again. It's like a dove that lighted upon the head of Jesus. And we see the Trinity at work. Behold, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased from heaven. On earth, you see the Spirit lighting down like a dove, and then you also see Jesus himself, all God in three persons. And John is there beholding this blessed moment. This is a familiar spirit. Not an evil one, but a good one. It feels like I've known you all of my life. And now we're contacting each other once again, positioned for the promise. When you have a divine connection, it is almost like y'all grew up together, and you just now found out about it. It's almost like you knew this person your entire life, and it seems like they just fit. And they're here for the long haul. Verse 42, it says, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This is Elizabeth talking to Mary. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. This blessed exchange of the two women talked about Zacharias, talked about Joseph. But what about Elizabeth and Mary? See, these two women have also been touched by God. Their destinies were intertwined, intermingled. They were on a collision course with one another. And even until the end, both John and Jesus were both executed for the gospel. Two people, as an example, if you think about intertwined destinies, being pregnant at the same time. Lord have mercy, with a child at the same time. Questions, discomfort, sickness, happiness. Boo. both ends. It's something about suffering together, even though there's as a result of a blessing in your life. Have you ever had a blessing that stretched you, that touched you, that made knots in your stomach? I'll never forget when Lady Martin got pregnant with Andre. She said, I feel like little butterflies in my stomach. They do like this. little flutter. That was her way of knowing that it was time for him to eat. Like a little butterfly's wings on the inside of her stomach. It's very gentle. Something that you would at first ignore, but then when you get in tune with what's on the inside of you, you can always detect when something is on the inside of you. You begin to pay special attention to it. You don't ignore it. You go with it. And then you feed it anytime it needs to be fed. Lord have mercy. Your faith needs to be fed. What's growing on the inside of you needs to be fed. Life does have its stretch marks. Life does sometimes disfigure you. Life does make you want to throw up and throw in the towel, not even want to get up. And sometimes it's even painful after the birth, where you even have to recover after this thing and this mission and this vision has been pushed out of you. It's almost like you're exhausted. It almost feels like, I don't know, as the ladies would say, oftentimes that everybody started getting pregnant at the same time. Something in the water. Maybe Lady Martin could give me some research on that as far as something in the water. But I say that there is something in the water. A water, or the type of water that's not of this world, but from a heavenly place. The type of water that comes from an eternal spring. You thought Zephyr Hills is good. You thought Nestle with the lemon tinge was good with your high class self. You thought that was good. What about Jesus? His water that comes from the eternal spring. How about that? When you get a sip of that, it's life changing. And you don't have to keep on going back to the story in order to get some more. Once you taste it, you don't want tap water anymore. Right? You know, that water that got the same look, but when you consume it, it has a bitter taste. That's kind of like how the enemy does. He tries to present things to you, a blessing to you, in the same package. Looks the same on the outside, but when you consume it, you know that it's not the same as what you had before. God, you spoiled me. Well, Lady Mark tells me this all the time. Well, I know I spoiled you because you expect certain things that I do for you. And I was like, well, you don't want nobody else to do it to you, do you? And she just looked at me. They smiled with the dimples on her face, and then she hugged me and then go on about it. I don't want anybody else except for God. I don't want anybody else to give me something to drink from. I want God. And so when you've gone through some stuff for God and you come in contact with someone else that's gone through certain things for God, it's a certain type of connection that you have. The fellowship of his suffering. To suffer with him, to also reign with him. To go from not anybody coming and supporting to having all the support coming from all over the city. That's what's happening to us right now. And when you look to the left or the right, it doesn't even seem like it would be so. But it is so. It's not what you see. It's what God has said. So as I conclude, I know this is the express message. But that's all right. That's all right. I'm done. I think that's good. I think you get the point now. So as I conclude, how many of y'all know that this year has been crazy? It's been crazy. Yeah, it's been crazy. 2020, crazy. Possibly. It's been crazy. Off the chain. And it seems like God is like, well, here goes another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. That's what God. God has really been saying. Unmute the button. Another one. I see some memes on Facebook, and it's like these people be talking about some, this is July, I'm afraid to open up the door for August. And now, what month is it, September? Oh, God. We ain't even get to October yet, and here we go, Supreme Court Justice dies. Seems like Corona just got pushed off to the news. It's got a nice little box over there at the right-hand corner. Crazy. But God will keep his promise. He will keep his promise. He'll keep his promise even if your candidate doesn't win. He'll keep his promise. God will keep his promise. But let me give you the secret. Obedience is the prerequisite. At least try. You won't make it. And you won't do everything right. But if you want to do something or you want to see different results, you got to do different things. You can't just let God or ask God or expect God to bless your mess. That's not how it works. If you want to be really blessed by God, you got to be uncomfortable. Fight that tendency to want to do the same thing over and over again. You will not get a different result. You can't just stand there and be like, well, God's going to bless me in his due season and due time. But then you're not walking in faith and obedience. Mary had to be in the right position. She had to be a good candidate. Not a perfect candidate, a good candidate, a willing candidate. Let's not get it twisted. So you mean that I have to be perfect in order for God to bless me? No, you just need to be in the right position to hear the message. And when God speaks to you, then you will conceive. Then it will begin to grow on the inside of you. Then it will manifest. Then he will surround you with people that are also pregnant by him in the spirit, not literal, in the spirit. And then when you come around one another, you'd be like, girl, I could not believe you did this too. You went there too. You experienced that too. Let me give you some oil for those stretch marks. You got that? Let me give you some oil for those stretch marks. It'll smoothen it out a little bit. It'll help you to understand why this transformation is taking place. Don't forget, when he blesses you, don't tell everybody what God is doing on the inside of you. Don't let the enemy try to abort what God is doing. Don't say everything. Sometimes I have to work on that. I think I've gotten better at that. I kind of try to steer away from things as much as possible. I've been kind of just doing my thing on Facebook, and then I'm not trying to read all the posts. I kind of stay in my area, then I kind of detach from that. And I think I'll continue to do that. I didn't even know anything happened in the news until somebody told me until I actually saw it. But other than that, I didn't see it. And I think that's a good pattern. I don't need to allow for my spirit to be inundated with the affairs of this world too much. It'll poison me. And last but not least, come on, stand to your feet. Get in proper position to be blessed. I don't know why God told us to go to Aloma. The people don't know this story, but I saw when Lady Martin was telling me, hey, you know what, we need to find a place. And I was like, we need to find a place. And she was like, well, why don't you go looking around? Why don't you go over there by Aloma? I think her and her sister said that, her and Amanda said that. She said, go over there by Aloma. Go over there in that area and just take a look around. I was like, there's nothing over here. There's nothing over here, but I went anyway. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes your mouth says one thing, but your actions say another. Sometimes that's all that God expects. Just try. And I was looking, and I saw an opening. It was like it was clouded, but then I saw an opening, and I saw a rainbow in the middle of that opening. I was like, what do we have here? Because I was looking for everything. Anything that had God's fingerprints on it, I was looking for it. And I just felt something pulled towards me. And I was like, okay, well, what is about this area? So I went into this plaza, and I saw all of these signs that said, for lease, for lease, for lease, for lease, for lease. And I was like, well, look at that. I found one little spot, called the number. It says, yes, Pastor Martin, you can find this particular place. You could go ahead and move in. And I was like, how much is rent? $850 a month. I was like, well, bless God. We can't afford it, but we'll try anyway. $850 a month. Got into that place. Started painting, stripping things down. Prophet Alexander was there with us. I met Jamari. Jamari got a little firecracker in him, too. Don't let anybody fool you. He'll snap. He snapped at me one time. He's like, I am doing it. And then I barked back because he found out about me, too. And then we painted that building. One young man named Beyond, he came by. He was smelling like hamburgers. And he looked at it. He's like, is this a church? Because he was from St. Kitts. Is this a church? You know, I was like, yeah, it's a church. And he was going to Full Sail at the time. And he came by and he started helping us in the place too. People from Publix were sitting there walking by, people peeking in, looking around. Is this a church? I said, yeah, it's a church. And people started coming from all over the place. And he had us there for 4.5 years. And then y'all, some of y'all came. Ryan kindly came on board. He seemed like every weekend he was working at that time. Every weekend. I'm coming eventually. And then Elder Winsley came, found him on Craigslist. That was a Craigslist blessing. I'll never forget that. Then they all kind of start coming in two by two. Sister Carl came in, Chloe came in. But that Ford Explorer, been through some things. I knew it was a reflection of what was going on in their lives. I was like, come on, babies, just come on in. The water's great. And then two by two, Boogie and Marsha came in there. Lord have mercy. His hair was shorter back then. It get longer over the years. He kept on growing, too. I was like, what is going on here? And then here we are today. But that would not have happened unless God put us in this place. And sometimes he'll position you even to experience pain, because it was painful being evicted after getting all the money together and paying off like $8,000 in back pay and lost tithes and offering. We got all together three weeks later. Mom was like, they got $8,000 in 3 weeks? Where have they been sitting on this money? They've had it the whole time. Pastor Ron, I told you they had it. We reconciled everything. We got it all together. It was truly a blessing. And then we had to move. We were in the right position with God, too. But he said, I got something greater for you. Go over there to Castleberry, because this place, you can't stay in the wilderness no more. You can't stay here no more. I got greater things for you guys. And I drove to a place I actually visited maybe about 10 years earlier. Isn't that crazy? I was just looking everywhere. I remember Lisa, Sister Winsley, we went to that area over there by Longwood. And I was like, well, this is it, y'all. And they just kind of looked at me like this. I was like, we could do some work in here. And then you don't know how I felt when I went back home that night. I wanted to cuss. I was like, what the? I got two weeks left to find something. Boxes stacked up to the roof and all this other type of stuff. It was a very trying time. But then God told me once again to go over there to an old stomping ground, a place that you've seen before. And I came and I found a place on YouTube of all places. Oh my goodness. And I found the clip, got in contact with the lady. She said, this is how much it is. She showed me a tour of the place. I was like, and she told me the price of the place. It's like 4 times as much as the place that we were in. I was like, I do not know how we can do it. But I was like, baby, let's see if we can do it. Got our pennies together, got the deposit together, and then here we are, 5 years later. Great relationship with them. Open up a daycare, places and things we couldn't even do before. And we're making it through a pandemic. So go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Divine Truth, you have been positioned for the promise. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. I thank you for the people that you're placing in our lives, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for carrying us through this tough and trying season. We're so grateful to you. We honor you and we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord God, for traveling mercies that's for each and every one of those that have attended service this morning. Let them be safe as they go back to their dwelling places. Bless those that are online, even as they're watching right now or at a later date, Lord God. Touch them where they may be. Let them know that we are still waiting for them to return in the fullness of time. In Jesus' name, amen. Divine truth, you have been positioned for the promise. Don't you forget it. It is so. All right? Amen. Amen. Consider yourselves dismissed. I'm out of time and out of message. That means it's time for me to sit down. Amen. Be blessed, everybody. I'm done. I ain't got nothing else left. We do have a core meeting today. What time is it? Is it 12:30 or 1? Whichever one. Do you need to go Wawa and get a snack first? Not this time. All right. So let's make it at 12:30 this time. Should only be about 30 minutes. Let Sister Amanda, if you could get the Zoom thing going so that we can pump you in so we can see Jeremiah, that head wobbling around. Amen, everybody. God bless you. God keep you. This is our prayer. See you next Sunday. Watch online on Wednesdays. Don't forget, share the message. But also let's start trying to invite people to church. Tell them to wear a mask. That's the prerequisite. Wear a mask if you've never been here before until people get used to you. Spread out as you need. See fit. You won't feel some kind of way about that. But we're almost through it, all right? Be blessed, everybody. Take care.